Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Good morning, church. How many of y'all were able to be out at the high school last night when Madison Grant celebrated the 1,000-point scores? That was pretty cool. It was like Legends Night, especially from those that played in the 90s. It was like this whole, there was a feel there. There was a sense of community. There was a sense of pride. It had this feel of the little engine that could. It was the small town does good. It was David takes a swing at Goliath, sort of a feel. And as they called out these players and guys who had played years ago, Coach Martin is there, Too Tall Terry. He's still just a monster. And it was just really neat. And I sat with some guys that I played with and were looking across the gym. We're like, hey, there they are. And there's their kid. That's their kid in the student section. And that's this person's kid. What? They're old enough to have high school students? Yep. I'm like, dude, are we old? Yep. And kind of some of that sort of a feel. And then they asked the question, how many of you all, Ryan Plovic asked, how many of y'all were here when this team played, like that 96 team, when they played? And about every hand in the gym goes up. Yeah, we were there. We remember these. That was a quarter of a century ago, 25 years. And after they had this honoring ceremony, they retired Kyle Runyon's jersey. And afterwards, guys in the hallway are just kind of like standing out in the hall. And I go out there and we're talking and we're replaying all of the stats. Does anybody remember when Bobby Knight came and sat up in the bird's nest and watched Runyon and Odell go back and forth, and one had 40, the other one had 45. It was the Madison Grant guy that had 45, and Odell actually had a tribute video, and he says, Kyle, congratulations. I don't really know if I want to congratulate you because for 4 years you kicked our butts, and everybody's, yeah, there was this moment. Right? And as we go out into this hallway, we're talking, and Max Miller is there, and Max begins to, he shares this story. He's on the microphone in front of everybody. He shares this story about Kyle, and what happened at that game was the silent hero that doesn't get enough attention. Max has a double-double that night. He has 25 points and 12 rebounds. And I bring this up to him, which happened 25 years ago. I'm like, Max, yeah, no doubt, 45 points is amazing, but 25 and 12, and he's like, well, and I'm like, no, that was amazing. He goes, I've been hit in the head so many times, I don't even remember that stuff anymore. Max went on to play college football at Purdue, and there were so many college athletes that came out of that group, and there was this gelling, bonding thing that was happening, at least in the swirl of the stands in which we were sitting. Isn't it something that shared experience creates something inside of you where you're like, man, I'm buying in, and I want to protect and defend, and I want to go to battle with the people that we've had these shared experiences with. And the same is true in a spiritual family. Whenever we walk through things, and maybe we've celebrated big with weddings, and we've grieved hard in death and loss, it bonds and it gels and it drives us together. And it seemed like last night, no matter how many wins and losses we've had over the course of the years, there's going to be a remembering and a reflection time of looking back on the good and seeing it in a perspective that it was awesome and it was amazing. It really does take maturity to look back on a season, whether that season was good or whether that season was hard, and to have gratitude fill your heart in the moments whenever it's not always awesome. This month, November, is National Gratitude Month. And with Thanksgiving, it's the focus is to be grateful. It's to focus in on gratefulness. I probably couldn't say it any better than the great doctor theologian Ferris Bueller. So we're going to go to a Ferris Bueller clip real quick. Check out how he words it.
Yep. I said it before and I'll say it again. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Ah. What a great intro, right? Life moves pretty fast. And if you don't stop and look around, then you'll miss it. And I think it's true that there needs to be this holy pause in our spirits from time to time to not just look back at the pain and let pain be the narrator of the story, but to look back and to really see all of the good and the joy and let joy take the mic and make sure that it's retelling the narrative. And it is a discipline, it is a decision, it really is a choice, and I believe that gratitude is more of a choice than it is an emotion. It's like, you know, I'm feeling good, and I feel like that was a good moment. I feel happy. So because I feel happy, therefore, I'll be grateful. And I just think it's completely backwards. I'm grateful, therefore, I'm happy. It's not that I'm happy, so now I'll be grateful. They do play off of each other, but let's not get confused on which one happens first. There is a discipline that we move towards with gratitude. There's a vast majority of psychologists and researchers that say that gratitude is one of the few things that can literally change our minds. And by minds, I mean your brain. It literally changes the brain matter. It shifts neurological pathways. It does something different by me moving from seeing things with a bummer or as a victim, and I shift them into seeing them in ways that I see gratitude. It would be like this. It would be like there's a fresh snowfall, and we just stamp down a foot pattern, and we just keep stamping it down, telling this story over and over and over, and now it's left a mark in our brain. This is the path. This is the way I see it. This is what happened. That's how it was unjust. That's how I got ripped off. That was the bummer. That's the dad that I was given. That's the disease that I had. These are all of the bummers, and we'll line them up, and it creates a pathway in which I continually walk all of the time. Until I shift that and I say, you know what, I got to change my thinking. If I can change my thinking, I can change my life. And I literally need to start thinking differently on these situations. And I got to start a new stamping down, a decision, a disciplined decision on how I'm going to see things. And it doesn't mean that all of a sudden I have amnesia and I forget that I had this injustice that happened to me. Sometimes we think that, you know, love is blind, and I didn't really see that. It didn't really happen, and I'm just going to love. No, love sees clearly. The Bible says that love covers sin. So even whenever all of that bummer happened, and I'm not looking to anesthetize the pain and act like it did never happen, but no, it happened, and through love, I'm working through this thing, and I'm going to cover, and I'm going to choose to see it and pivot and see it with a grateful heart. There's a strong connection between increased feelings of happiness and self-worth, these feelings that we have, and gratitude, so much so that they play off of each other. And we're happy because we're grateful, not the other way around. We're happy because we're grateful and not the other way around. One of the things that I do is I journal, and in my journal, I spend at least 3 minutes at the beginning in gratitude. And it'll be like a daily planner. I'll write out part of my day. Here's what's going on. Here's times and things like that. But at the beginning, it says, today I am grateful for. So today I'm grateful for a new believer that I get to walk this spiritual journey with. It's Tuesday. I pray for Ronnie every Tuesday. She's our adventure girl. Wow, that girl is wild and wonderful. There is so much in her that I want to be like. She's alive, light, free and full of joy. Nora just turned 8 yesterday. Big bad 8. 35 pounds, 8 years old. Nora's unrelenting positivity, she inspires me. Wrestling with the kids until we're so sore from laughing. Wow. I'm grateful for a wife that gets up early and seeks Jesus. When she's better, our family is better. I'm grateful for men that bring me life. I'm grateful for Bill Lowe and for his transformation. I'm grateful for Jake Stroop and the newness in his life and his friendship. It can be as simple as this. I'm grateful for Chick-fil-A honey roasted barbecue sauce. Going to bed with Christmas lights on. I'm grateful for slow mornings, revelation from God, sharing that revelation with Alyssa. It really can be just simple things where we just say, you know what, I'm going to just choose just to take some time and some moments where I'm going to center my heart. You don't have to write pages and documents, but you are going to say, this is going to be a discipline of my life. I'm going to tell myself, you're going to choose to see it in a way. We're going to choose to see it through a lens that God has been faithful. He's been consistent. He's been steadfast. He's been faithful even in the midst of the pain and the suffering. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There's no getting away from it. I'm here. I'm in the valley of the shadow of death. This is hard. Marriage is rough. My job is tough. Finances aren't awesome. I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. He pivots his perspective and he says, but God is with me. And it's the shepherd that will lead me through the valley of the shadow of death. It's not that we don't see the pain and the problems. It's just that I see that God's faithfulness has been bigger than it all. God is that the story of God takes precedence over all of the bummers in my life. The headlines isn't life was a bummer. No, the headline was God was faithful. Amen. That's the perspective. That's maturity. That's being able to see things in the midst of all of the bummers and all of the hardships and all of the tears. He has consistently, I'm pounding out this pathway. I will not come off of this. He has been faithful. He's been consistent. He has been there and he has gotten me here. And he will see me through today and through to tomorrow. And the same God that was faithful yesterday will be the same God that's faithful to today, will be the same God that's faithful to tomorrow. There is no shadow of turning in him. He is consistent. He is faithful. He's locked in on my life and seeing his own glory explode through my life. He will be the headlines. And there may be problems in the details, but overall, the victory is his. And that's where I'm going to live, even when I don't feel like it. Especially when I don't feel like it. He's gonna get the write-up. He's gonna get the story. The news story is not the valley of the shadow of death. The story is the shepherd was holding my hand. There's something different about somebody that's got an engine that's revved toward the glory of God. It's the Viking, man. It's the Viking that says, come on. But it's the victim that says, I got ripped off, and it was all a bummer, and all this injustice happened. And you get to choose whatever story you think is playing out, you'll play into that story. And if God is small and your problem is big, you'll believe and play fully into that story. And the enemy loves it. Or if you're playing into a story where God is amazing and he is faithful and life is hard, but he is good, and I'm going to play into that story, life will just go probably a little bit better for you. There's three things that I find in being reflective and gratitude towards, specifically with journaling. Number one, it causes me to reflect and to remember. Whenever I reflect back and I remember, it starts creating some higher joy levels. My joy fuel increases. And with higher joy fuel, I start gaining a different perspective. And whenever I gain perspective, I see things differently. And whenever I see things differently, it feeds this whole thing of gratitude. Oh, man, I'm thankful. Joy is coming. I'm seeing things different. And also, I realize that whenever I'm frustrated, I'm not overly forgiving. But when I'm grateful, I'm full of joy, man, we're starting to give out grace like crazy. Man, why? Because I'm not holding anybody hostage. I can't play a smaller game. I'm just playing small. If I want to live in unforgiveness, I'm just playing small. I want to play much larger in the grace pool of God, where I love, I cover, I bless, I see things differently. We're going to make it. We're gelling. It's not about wins and losses. Man, it's about a culture. It's a tradition. Like last night, we looked back and saw things in an amazing light. And it's not lying to ourselves. No. We keep records. We know. We lose a lot. But we see things in a positive way, even in the valley of the shadow of death. Number two, what it does after I remember, I recenter. And it does something in me where I begin to recenter on Jesus. Okay, I'm not centered on the problem, not centered on the issue. I'm centered on Jesus. I'm centered on the cross. I'm centered on the great physician, on my healer, on the God that's more than enough, who causes me to be an overcomer. I'm centered in higher places. I'm seated in heavenly places. My mind has gained altitude. I see things differently. I'm no longer succumbed to the lower landscape of all of these emotional trappings. I cast off all the things that easily entangle me so that I may run the race that's been marked and set out for me. Just try it. You might like it. So I remember, I recenter, and then I redefine really what's important. Like, was that really important? That really matter? Do I need to get a little more refocused? Because I'm whining a little too much. And people, pretty much just about everybody in America, your life is way too good to be whining about it that much. So, let's remember. And not remember the pain. Let's remember the shepherd was with me. And it recenters me. And then it redefines what's truly important. This is a discipline that we're now doing with our children. Our children, we do this. So here's the 5-minute gratitude journal for boys. So Judah, we get up. We're going to dive in. We're going to go 5 minutes here. Here's something that Judah wrote. By completing this journal, I hope to feel like I can accomplish things. Although he misspelled accomplish. I believe that through writing down my thoughts and feelings, I will begin to feel more joyful because I go back into those times. Isn't that cool? What a thought. Here's Ronnie's. Ronnie's has got a little bit more splash and pizzazz to it. All right, so we've got some stickers, we got hearts, you go girl, friends forever, you can put a cupcake or an ice cream cone on it, a Starbucks coffee, I hope she doesn't get into that for another 10 years, that gets expensive. Yeah, oh man, just fun stuff. I want to read you one from Ronnie's. Today, I'm thankful for my church. It's spelled C-H-R-I-C-H-E. Playing with Nora. I rode rides on Jams Dean days. I rode horses. I'm thankful for my church. Volleyball and football. How about that one? Four-wheeling. You see that? Do you see four-wheeling there? F-O-R-W-E-E-L-I-N-G. Four-wheeling. Clean the house. Mom came home from Colorado. Dad did too, but that didn't make the list. Actually, let's stop reading that one. Oh my gosh. It recenters, man. Life was good. Last week wasn't a bummer. Come on, let's go. We can do this. And it starts helping our perspective. Here's a few stats. 70% of employees would feel better about themselves if their boss would be more grateful. And 81% said they would actually work harder. Employees who experience more gratitude at work report fewer depressive symptoms. and stress. 95% of employees agree that a grateful boss is more likely to be successful. Isn't it interesting? Because a boss's success is really linked to the employees. And they say, hey, bro, if you were more grateful, you would be more successful. Regular gratitude journaling has been shown to result in a 15% increase in optimism and 25% increase in sleep quality. Here's the deal. Here's the thing about sleep. Is you head to bed and you want to replay the day. And this was frustrating, and they didn't call me back, and they didn't email me, and I'm so frustrated. And then you get into the shower, and you want to tell them off. That's where I do it. I do it in the shower. Man, if my shower could talk, man, it would tell some stories. I would get fired for the conversations that I have in the shower. But I go off on them, and this is why you're an idiot. This is why I'm awesome. And I'm all fired up, and then I'm ready to go to bed. Good luck with that, right? But they say gratitude, right before you go to bed, spending 3 to 5 minutes in gratitude, it actually lowers blood pressure, it calms nerves, it diffuses stress. You start going to this joy, happy place. Oh man, I start breathing rather than just hyperventilating. And I all of a sudden come to these rivers of life, and I tap into this portal of peace. And things, just the inner man, just starts shifting in different ways. And I go off to Sleepville. Because what we do is we got to drug ourselves to go to bed. We've got to drug ourselves to get out of bed. We got to take melatonin to fall asleep. We got to shoot up caffeine to actually function and get awake, right? What if instead of all of that, we just moved into places of gratitude? And we go from grogginess to greatness just by getting our hearts at the feet of Jesus, saying, I just want to worship with a grateful heart and live differently. I come into your presence with thanksgiving. I enter your courts with joy and praise upon my lips, right? A lack of gratitude is major driver for job dissatisfaction, turnover, and burnout. Lack of gratitude is a driver for marital problems and divorce. What you fail to appreciate will leave your life. What you fail to appreciate will leave your life. And showing gratitude is one of those ways. Gratitude reduces toxins, aggression, frustration, and regret. Gratitude lowers suicidal thoughts and attempts. Here's one, Ian. You ready? You ready? You're not sure. You're going to love it. Gratitude improves romantic relationships. Gratitude literally changes your heart, not your emotions, the blood pumping muscle in the center of your chest. It literally changes your heart. Gratitude reduces blood pressure. Patients with hypertension who practice gratitude at least once a week experience a significant decrease in blood pressure. It goes on, stats about journaling more. Here's what I want to talk about, is gratitude in the good and gratitude in the grind. Because it's both. It's not always amazing, and whenever it is, it's easy to be grateful. It's tough to be grateful when it's not always peaches and cream. When we're not always just kind of tiptoeing through the tulips, it is tough to turn our hearts toward gratitude. One of the things that we have at TLC and in our work facilities is we've created this thing called a gratitude jar. And whenever somebody on the team has a grateful moment and they're thankful that this team member did whatever, they're grateful for this thing that a family said about how we took care of a resident, there's something that's good that's going on in culture that we're thankful that we get to work in an environment like this, then you get a marble that goes into the jar. And this just happened at one of our facilities in Florida. This is Tabby Diaz, and here's a picture. She took her entire team, her entire leadership team, out for lunch because they filled their gratitude jar. And they've got about 15 people that they're buying lunch for. And I don't know, 15 people times $15, they're going to drop $150 because $150 toward a good culture is nothing, right? That is pennies toward getting a good culture, a gratitude jar. What's the practical ways that we're going to move our team towards gratitude? Just put a marble in the jar. And when the thing gets full, we're taking everybody out. And we're going to celebrate in these really fun and good ways. I think that that's a pretty cool idea. We see this story in Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 44. What's about to go down is Jesus is showing up. They're having this dinner, and all of the who's who are there. It says that there's a crowd, and the religious leaders of the day are showing up. But there's this one woman, the sinner, sinful woman. That's the adjective that the Bible uses about her. We can't even explain her. We just know this woman, she's bad, man. She is a sinner. That's who this woman is. We could just like name all the stuff, but let's just throw it and just say what it is. There's a banner over her, and the banner over her is not love. The banner over her is sin, right? And so here we see this moment with Jesus, and in verse 44, Jesus says this, "Then he turned toward the woman, but he said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who has been forgiven little loves little.' Then Jesus said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.' The other guests begin to say amongst themselves, 'Who is this who can forgive sin?' Jesus said to the woman, 'Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.'" There was a driver inside of this woman. And because of the encounter that she had with Jesus, she was driven into the presence of Jesus. And here's all these people that think that they're pretty good. Here's the crowd. And they think, pretty good. I'm good to go. And they haven't experienced a ton of forgiveness. And he says, those who haven't experienced a ton of forgiveness don't have a ton of love. But he goes, this woman who's experiencing waves and waves of redemption just coming over her, she can't handle it. She's just, her eyes are leaking faucets. He goes, my feet are soaked in her tears. She is showing up with extravagant affection in the presence. He goes, you're not doing that. And my heart isn't really turned towards you. My face is turned toward this woman, and she's wiping my feet with her hair, and she's pouring perfume all over my feet. There's an extravagance about this, the way that this woman wants to worship and be grateful and show how much she loves. Something is moving the needle in the heart of the Son of God. And then he grabs this woman, he says, go in peace, because what you just did here shifted your life. Everything's different. I wonder if Jesus is aware of science. I just wonder if he's aware of the body that he made and created, and he goes, something is shifting in you. Yeah, there's supernatural, but there's very, very natural things that's happening in your heart and your health. Things are getting really good inside of you. You're going to live in peace, and it's going to be really, really good. And there's going to be a supernatural blessing where I lift off shame and pain and regret, and something new is going to be taking place inside of your life. She had good, and she went to gratitude. Isn't that cool? G.K. Chesterton, he says this, "I would maintain that thanks are the highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder." Wonder. Happiness is doubled by wonder of it all. Just taking it in. And not looking back on my past, saying this is where I was ripped off and I keep a record of wrongs, and this is where you did this, and this is where I had injustice, and I have a record of wrongs. And he goes, I look back and it's like, oh, whoa, right? Like the chances of you even being here right now is 400,000 to 1. I could tell you the science of that. The swimmers? No? Okay. 400,000, and you're the one that made it. You're here just to be thankful that you're alive. You made it. And the wonder and the awe and that I'm here. Y'all remember when you had, if you got kids, the first time that you had, that you laid eyes on that baby girl. The wonder of seeing that face. The first time you put hands on that soft, supple skin of your son. Oh my gosh, like I didn't even know you and I'm ready to lay my life down for you. Something just shifted inside, right? The wonder of it. And then you fast forward the tape 5 years and that wonder is now annoying. You're like, I used to love my name, but now I hate my name. Dad, 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 shut up. Yesterday, we were celebrating Nora's birthday, turned 8 years old, and we're at a pool, and we're swimming, and there's a dad there, and he's got two daughters, and he has moved past the wonder of it all, is the nicest way I can say it. And he, the whole time, he's checked out of being with his daughters, and he's just with his phone. And I'm going to believe the best, that he was working on some great million-dollar idea document. But I could assume that maybe he's trying to anesthetize the pain with some Candy Crush. Or maybe checking football scores. I don't know what his thing is, to check out of reality. But he was not present in the moment. And this, what's amazing is sometimes is what used to, we just had such a wonder about life. And I used to see things through the lens of God and through the lens of Jesus. And I loved it. And I took it all in, this wonder of seeing my newborn baby. Now these babies are growing up staring at the back of an iPhone. And what we fail to appreciate will leave our lives. And they may not be able to do it when they're 8 or when they're 14, but they probably will at some point if there's not lavish gratitude, wonder, appreciation, love that's poured upon these people. How about gratitude in the grind? There's a great biblical example in Daniel. And Daniel gives thanks to the Lord, even in the midst of the risk of losing his life. So Daniel is this man who's born into royalty. He's born of noble worth. And then the Babylonians come in and they take over the kingdom. And now, as a teenager, Daniel's a slave. And man, he goes from eating lobster and steak every day to being a slave, and he's eating the leftovers. But Daniel keeps his heart good, that it's not about circumstances. It's about living in a place where I'm just going to choose to have disciplined decisions of gratitude. And you start to see Daniel's life do this. And he begins to gain some altitude in his influence in the kingdom, all the way up until he becomes the second in command. He's now the vice president. The Babylonians don't like this, and they start kind of whispering, and all of the other, you know, governors and mayors and state reps, and they're like, we got to get this guy out of here. So they create a new law. It says you can't pray to any other god except to King Darius. And we catch up with the story in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day. And he prayed and he gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. 3 times a day, Daniel says, gratitude's my move. Life is hard and I'm going to gratitude. Life isn't awesome, but I'm going to gratitude. Alyssa just recently had a conversation with one of the housekeeping aides at a nursing home facility. And she shares this story. She goes, I remember I had 2 brothers, and growing up, they would molest me. And for years, I remember these occasions. The older brother first, then the younger brother kind of learned the ways, and then he started doing it to me. And Alyssa's having this conversation with her, and he says, well, where is Jesus in the room? She said, I look down, and I can only see from my forearm down, but I see that Jesus is holding my hand. And he tells me, he goes, it's okay, I'm here. And afterwards, we're going to go pick dandelions for your mom. And then we're going to go give them to your mom. And for some people, they would say, well, if Jesus is in the room, then why doesn't he stop this? If Jesus is real, then why doesn't he stop all injustice? If Jesus is real, then why? And Jesus never promises a pain-free life. He promises the opposite, actually. He says, in this life, you will have hardship, but I will be with it. I'll be in it with you. I'll walk this thing with you. I will be holding your hand. And as she looks back, she goes, Jesus was holding my hand. And she goes, I remember then I would walk home and I would pick dandelions for my mom. And having just this unbelievable pain, life-altering, traumatic event, I would go and pick flowers for my mom. I'm thinking about someone else. And I want to be thoughtful and I want to give to my mom. And she goes, this happened with other people in our family. It happened to many people in our family. And she goes, and I look back on the perspective that I took, where I moved my heart into places of seeing the positives and seeing the good and seeing that Jesus was in it with me. And I'm not mad at Jesus. I'm not pointing my finger at Jesus. But all my other family did. And I see how life played out for them, and it did not end well. And it's been full of suicide. It's been full of brokenness and pain and divorce and abuse. And you see how her life is playing out. And she's moving up in leadership, and she's moving up, but all because of a perspective shift. She goes, I'm just not coming off of this. God is faithful. He's consistent. He is good. I do not care so much about the pain or the disease or the thing that's trying to rip me off. What I do care about and what I love and what my heart burns for is this God-man, Jesus Christ, who's going to walk me through every step of the way. And she keeps her perspective centered on the thing that matters. And it redefines what ultimately is important. People, I'm telling you that gratitude is the fight for your life. It is. It's not a cute little thing. We don't just sit around the dinner table and we pass the turkey leg and say what you're thankful for. No, it is fighting for your life, for your mentals, for your spiritual, for your soul. It is a fight for your life. And if the enemy can distract you and remind you of all the pain, then he wins. And we're just going to remind him that the shepherd was there holding our hand through the valley of the shadow of death. And he leads us through it all. I'll wrap with this. Here's a life hack that I use, a gratitude hack that I use. When I'm frustrated and my kids are whining and they're fighting and this is frustrating and things are tough at work and I didn't like this and I didn't like that, I play out the scenario. What would it be like if I were not here? Something happened. I'm dead. I'm gone. And now all of a sudden, my son is out on the court alone, struggling. And he's in the classroom alone, and he's struggling. And my daughters, all they want is a daddy-daughter talk tonight, and I'm not there to give it to them. And Alyssa has to lead this whole thing by herself, and I'm not to be there with her. And I just play this whole thing out, and I'm seeing the pain and all the hardship and all the bummer. And then I re-enter, and I'm like, yes, I'm here. I get to do this. I literally feel my body change. I begin to smile as my son is whining. I'm smiling. He's like, Dad, you're freaky. I'm like, I know. And I get to hug my girls, and I get to put them down, and I get to part them, and they're not fighting anymore. I just grab their faces. I'm like, I'm touching your faces. Oh, this is amazing. Okay, I need to stop squeezing your face so hard. But now I'm here, and I'm in it, and I get to be with Alyssa, and all of a sudden I start playing out. I'm not focused on all the bummers. I'm focused on the present. I'm in the present. I'm in the moment. I'm thankful for it all. And he's going to walk me through it all. Come on, it is fighting for that every inch of our day. It's gratitude. So whatever your hack is, whatever you need to do, maybe it's journaling, maybe it's making some disciplines. I don't know what they are, but let's go there. James chapter 1, starting in verse 2, it says this: "Count it all joy, brothers and sisters, when you go through these hardships. Mark it up to joy. Move to a place of gratitude that creates joy." We've got to fight this battle differently, because what you're doing is not working. So when you go through trials of many kinds, you know that the testing of your faith is producing something in you. He's talking some science here, although we didn't know it then. It's producing something shifting inside of you. There's a dog that's now coming alive to persevere through this stuff. Let perseverance finish its work so that you would be mature, that you would be complete, that you would lack nothing. Goes on, one more here. Blessed is the one who can persevere, because they've stood the test. It's the person that will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love them. Church family, we're going to close and we're going to pray. And as we do, I just want you to start doing some mental pivots. Man, where is the thing where I focus on the problem, I focus on the pain, and I'm not focused on the shepherd that's holding my hand through it all? And I'll tell you, man, blood pressure is going to go down. Man, I can start breathing again. Man, I want really good sleep. I don't want to drug myself to get through this life. I want gratitude. Man, I want to move into that. I want new pathways in my brain. I want to start seeing through a different lens. Man, God, change my mind. Renew me with the renewing of my mind. Let me begin to see things differently. Cast off all of the concerns and anxieties that easily entangle me, and let me see it in a new way. Come on, we can do this, church family. God is for us. He's not against us. And if we can operate and think the way that he would have us think, life just would look different. Would y'all stand with me this morning, and we'll close in prayer. Jesus, we just thank you that you're a God that can move our minds. God, we just ask you that you would change our minds this morning and change our hearts. Lord, we ask you that we'd be a grateful church. We'd be a grateful family. We would honor you with our perspective. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.